Would you please open first to Ezekiel chapter 38? I want to take some time tonight to show you some things that today Christians would say are just foolish. I mean, forget about the world. We already know what the world thinks. The body of Christ calls a lot of things that are clearly identified in Scripture as being foolish. Well, in Ezekiel 38, let's begin reading here in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, the me being Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses, and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, and the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. And he goes on to talk about what he's going to be doing and so forth. But the key is, or one of the keys here I want to point out, verse 3, where God makes this declaration, I am against you, you and all these others. And I'm going to be drawing you out ultimately for your destruction and so forth. But you'll notice it says in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. And God said, Son of man, set thy face against, you know, these people and prophesy against him and say. So Ezekiel is telling us that God moved upon him and God told him, you take a stand against these people, these armies, nations and so forth. And you say this to them. You prophesy this to them. Now look in chapter 39, verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of the right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now notice here, he says in verse 1 to Ezekiel, prophesy against, you know, these people. And it says in verse 5, Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. But now God himself wasn't speaking it. You understand what I mean? God said, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to tell you what to say, and then you turn around and you speak it to these people. And God said, and I'll paraphrase, it's going to happen, for I have spoken, says the Lord. But Ezekiel was the one speaking. See that? What's God saying here? What he's saying is, when I give a man my word, and that man turns around and speaks my word the way I say it should be spoken, it's the same thing as if I, God, were saying it. Look at that. It's the same thing. Now, some people would look at this and think, okay, well, you know, this is a bunch of Old Testament stuff. Yeah, it's Old Testament stuff, but I would like to clue you in on something. This has nothing to do with the law. This is somebody living under the law, but speaking things that aren't law governed. You understand what I mean? So therefore, we're seeing a principle here that is not governed by the law, and therefore would carry forward for us today. Now let's look at something else. Jump over to 21, verse 21. Now he's still prophesying. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. And then he goes on to talk some more about this. But the point I want to make out is that God is prophesying through Ezekiel. And he says, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to say. Make the declaration or prophesy that my glory is going to be known among the heathen. See that? So again, since God is telling Ezekiel to say this, and Ezekiel says it, and then God turns right around and he says, you know, it's going to happen because I've said it, says the Lord. But now what if Ezekiel had never said these things? What if Ezekiel had never obeyed God and spoken the way that God told him to? Would it have happened? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let's put it like this. If Ezekiel hadn't said it, how would we have known that's what God wanted to be said? Because until Ezekiel said it, it never got recorded in Scripture. You with me? Well, he'd have found somebody else to say it. All right, I'll grant you that. Let's just go along and say, yeah, he'd have found somebody else to say it, and it wouldn't say Ezekiel. Maybe it'd be the book of Abinadab or something like that. I don't know. Well, what the point I'm making is, if Ezekiel had not obeyed what God told him to do and turned around and spoken these things, then the things that God wanted spoken, the things that God wanted to come to pass, would not have been spoken, and therefore, thus saith the Lord, would never have taken place. Are you seeing this? Now let me show you another one. Look in 34, chapter 34. And we'll just read the first few verses on this one. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now, basically, what you're seeing here, and we're going to stop here at the fourth verse, this is a prophecy, really, against pastors. The pastors that are not seeking after God. And if you compare chapter 34, verse 4, to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to, you know, heal the sick and so on and so forth. Verse 4 is the opposite of Luke 4:18. Now, he goes on here and he talks about the things that the pastors are doing wrong and so forth. But along with this, he talks about judgment that's going to be upon the pastors. And you can read the entire chapter later on. In this, he also declares he's going to set up the shepherdhood, if you will, of Jesus. He's prophesying about the right kind of a pastor. Now, once again, in chapter 34, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the pastors who are doing wrong. Speak my judgment against them. So here we have Ezekiel receiving from God, God's word, and God says, declare it. Now, if it hadn't been spoken, would we even know that this was in the heart of God? Well, not unless somebody else got the revelation and passed it on. But let's just say Ezekiel was the only one that God would have used to do this. Therefore, if Ezekiel had been in rebellion and had not done what God wanted him to do, then these things would not have been spoken, they would not have been recorded in Scripture, and these prophecies would not have been delivered. Now, God said in His Word that when my Word goes forth, it will accomplish everything I send it forth to accomplish. Well, he's not speaking just exclusively of, you know, God in heaven and speaking things. He's talking about these prophecies that have gone forth through his chosen vessels. So God says, Ezekiel, speak this. And in the process of speaking it, you let it be known it's going to come to pass because I, the Lord, have said it. So God is adding his position as God to the words that Ezekiel is speaking. And you can go and read Jeremiah, Isaiah, other prophets, same thing. God is adding his position as God to what he has told them to say. Then they turn around and they speak it. And it's just like God himself is speaking. Now look in chapter 36. And this one's interesting. So what we have here is God prophesying that the bad people are going to come into judgment. You know, just to kind of summarize this. And then God also prophesies that his glory is going to be known among the heathen. And then God also prophesies that the pastors who are doing wrong are going to come into judgment. But now, in chapter 36, verse 1, look at this. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Now, so far, does it look like he's speaking to people? Just in verse 1. No. It looks like he's speaking to mountains. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are in infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate places, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely, in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You say, what in the world's going on here? Well, you just read it. God said, speak to the planet. Did he not? Speak to the mountains, to the hills, to the valleys, to the rivers, to the streams. You've been abused because of the sin of the heathen. But I have not forgotten you, just like I have not forgotten my people. And, oh, mountains and streams and rivers. Now let's think. Here's Ezekiel. And he's standing there saying, mountains, thus saith the Lord, streams, hills, valleys, rivers, thus saith the Lord. He's speaking to stuff. Anybody walking by would have thought, this crazy old man, what is wrong with him? And he says, the Lord God knows that you have been abused, you've been taken advantage of, you've been laid waste because of the sin of the heathen. But not only is God going to restore his people, but God has His hand upon you as well, and you again are going to flourish, says the Lord. Now, we have already established that this is not law governed. Okay? Didn't Jesus speak to a fig tree? Yes, He did. Didn't Jesus make reference to speaking to a mountain? And we know that that's an illustration. Here's what I'm getting at. If you have God's Word, and you don't speak it, how can you fully expect God's will to manifest in your life? Didn't Jesus say something about, if you speak it and believe it in your heart, it'll come to pass? Sure He did. And here we have several, and I mean, you can go through the whole rest of the book of Ezekiel, take a look in other places, other prophets there in the Old Testament, where God would give them the word and say, you know, speak to this one and speak to that one and say to, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Now when they did that, from God's perspective, that was just like He was down there, down here on earth, speaking these things Himself. Why then should we think it strange to make a proclamation or prophesy the Word of God? Why should we think that's odd? When we have the times here that we go through our confessions, do you realize what we're doing is we are prophesying, thus saith the Lord? Because the confessions that we speak are based totally on the Word of God. They're not our confessions. That's not our will. We are speaking, thus saith the Lord. And you'll notice in here, where He talks about, my glory shall be known among the heathen. Okay. Any of you in here have any family members that are heathens? Now, if God wanted His glory to be known among the heathen back here with Ezekiel, do you not think He wants His glory to be known among the heathen of your family members? Those rebellious wenches? Don't you think that He wants it the same today? Well then, if we have a precedent for this, why in the world would it seem strange to us to make a declaration, thus saith the Lord, and name your heathen family members? The glory of the Lord shall be known in your midst. Because we know that's what God wants. Didn't the Bible say something about how that it's not God's will for any to perish? Sure. And what was that about? For God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth. Your heathen family members are part of that whosoever. So what would be wrong with us making a declaration, thus saith the Lord, the glory of the Lord shall be known in your midst. Now remember, when Ezekiel said these things, none of those people of Gog and Libya and Magog, none of those folks were there with him. You understand what I'm saying? I really didn't research this enough to know exactly where he was when he did this, but he was not in all of those places. I know that. So what he's doing, he is prophesying from a distance. And he has no telephone, no email, nothing. No cell phone, no satellite. He's where he is, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away from some of these places. And God says, Son of man, speak this. And so he stands wherever he is and he says, Magog and Gog and Libya and, you know, whoever, the Lord is against you and the Lord is going to, and this is going to happen and such and thus. So here he is, this long distance away from all of these things, and he's prophesying these things, thus saith the Lord, and it's just like God himself is speaking this, and God says his word won't return void, therefore God up in heaven, he knows he's going to see results. Now here's Ezekiel. He doesn't know when, where, how, it's all going to play out. He just knows he's supposed to speak it and he knows it's going to happen. Now listen, he knows he may not see it all in his lifetime. When we speak and we prophesy, it's not so we get to see all of the results. It's so the results take place. You understand this? Speak it. You've got heathen family members. Speak it. Declare. The glory of the Lord shall be known in your midst. I'm going to show you a couple more verses here in just a minute. Declare the glory of the Lord shall be known in your midst. Now, and just prophesy these things. Keep prophesying these things. Keep speaking these things. You may live to be 120 years old, step out of your body, and go on into glory, and never have seen these things happen. Ezekiel died before these prophecies came to pass. The fullness of these prophecies. Because we now understand that a lot of what we look here in Ezekiel, like 37, 38, and so forth, those are prophecies about the end times. So he prophesied this thousands of years ago. And these prophecies, these things that God told him to speak, boy, how can you paint this image? Those words are still out there, alive and at work to this day. We can't see them, but they're out there. Those words are still out there impacting every nation and every individual to which and whom they were spoken. Those words got released and they're not going to return void. See, what happens is we get frustrated when we begin to prophesy the things of God and we don't see it come to pass instantly. We get aggravated when we don't see the results. And we come up for prayer line after prayer line after prayer line. I just don't know what to do. I've been praying and I've been confessing, but ain't nothing changed. Well then, what are you believing? Number one, are you confessing the Word of God? Is that what you're speaking? Because when you're speaking the Word of God, you're prophesying. That you are literally prophesying. So, are you prophesying God's Word? Now, if you are, then if you don't believe it's going to work, then you know what? Your heart, you've spoken words out of your head, not out of your heart. And when you're speaking words out of your head, you know what? You can forget it. Because you really don't believe it's going to come to pass. Because if you really believed if you truly believed it was going to come to pass, why would you fuss and complain that you haven't seen it come to pass? Ezekiel prophesied something thousands of years ago and it still hasn't come to pass. But it's going to. And we're starting to see it line up before our very eyes and the political scene. We're seeing it. We're seeing these words that went forth. And they're bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together. Been working now for over like 2,000-3,000 years. Been working, putting all these pieces together. It's coming to pass. We're seeing it come to pass. Right now. So when we begin to prophesy the Word of God, why should we doubt? If we're prophesying the Word of God and we truly believe that God's Word cannot return void and we truly believe it's going to happen, if we are prophesying the will of God and the Word of God, why should we complain because we haven't seen it manifest in 1 week? Why? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall... With me? Remember that? Old Testament? Man, all those people that were alive at the time that prophecy was given, every one of them were dead. Dead and dust by the time the virgin conceived and brought forth a son. You with me? But he prophesied it. Thus saith the Lord. And praise God, it came to pass. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if none of these prophets had spoken what God told them to speak? Yeah, well, he would have found another prophet. And yes, I know that. But let's just pretend there were no other prophets. You see what I mean? Now, my name's not Ezekiel. My name's not Isaiah. My name's not Jeremiah. But I have the Word of God right here. And thus saith the Lord God Almighty to my heathen family members. The glory of the Lord shall be known in your midst. I'm not going to name them out because they might listen to this and then get upset because they heard. You see what I'm getting at here in all of this. This guy prophesied these things and it was just like God was speaking it. Well, see, you go back to Genesis and you see how God's given us the authority and so forth in this earth. And so God wants us to speak His Word. And this is one of the reasons why we go through the confessions. It is a form of prophesying. You know, I say, and I'm paraphrasing prophecy or confessions we use here. But, you know, I say that the husbands are faithful to their wives here in this church, and the wives are faithful to their husband and so forth. And, you know, and all these things that we prophesy, that we confess. And the confession, the word confession, the word prophesy, relative to that, speaking the word of God, it's the same thing. You're prophesying. Thus saith the Lord. Because it's not thus saith us. So what I can do today, even though I'm living several thousand years after these guys lived, I can take this same principle because God's still the same. He changes not. He said so. So when I take His word, I don't have to be, you know, out in the wilderness someplace, hiding under a juniper tree or whatever, and, you know, this big voice, "Thou son of man, speak and prophesy to..." I've already got words that God has spoken, and this is life. My words are spirit, they are life. So if I speak these words, the only reason they're in print form is so I can read them. They're spirit and they're life. Get a hold of this. This book, the Bible, it is a written form of spirit and life. So I take these words and I begin to speak them and I begin to declare them and I'm prophesying just like Jeremiah, just like Ezekiel, just like Daniel or anybody else, Amos, you name it, whoever prophesied, I'm just like him. Because I'm taking the word of the Lord and I'm speaking it forth. I'm declaring it. Look over in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I want you to see something that Jesus said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, look here in verse 7. And again, Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me. Do you have any friends or family members who have not yet believed on Jesus?" Well, do you see right here that the Holy Spirit wants to reprove? That word reprove could also be the word convict. So here is a prophecy for your family members who have not yet, that you know of, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's just say that you've got a cousin Bob, okay? Bob, in the name of Jesus, I call you convicted of sin. I prophesy to you, Bob, wherever you are, that conviction is settling in your life. Not condemnation, big difference, conviction. Conviction. Holy Spirit, go forth and convict cousin Bob. You see what I'm saying? So as I begin to prophesy this, then I can have the expectation that cousin Bob is going to be convicted of his sin. Convicted of his need for Jesus. Now earlier in this message, I talked about how in the body of Christ, this kind of a thing is condemned. There are so many Christians who think this is just plain old nuts. They think it's just completely outrageous to confess and to speak and to believe that when you say this, it's going to come to pass. Well, now, wait a second. That bunch back there in the Old Testament, they weren't even born again. And it worked. When they let that sink in. God can give His Word to somebody that's not even born again, and if they speak it because they received it from Him, then God's going to move on it because it's His Word. Now here we are, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, hopefully. And you think it works any less for us? You think God has said, well, it doesn't work now. That is exactly what religion wants us to think. And that is exactly what Satan wants us to think. Because if we stand down and we do not prophesy the word of the Lord into our world, then why should we believe that the will of God will manifest in our world? See, I don't know what your world is like. But I know what my world is like. And there are things in my world that I know need to be changed. And so I've got a responsibility. God's up in heaven. He says, look, if you just take my word and prophesy it, it's going to be just like I was there speaking it myself. So So I can prophesy, Cousin Bob, or, you know, my daughter Susie, or whatever it would be, prophesy. I prophesy in the name of Jesus conviction in your life for your sin. I say in the name of Jesus, when you lay your head down at night, you will sense conviction for your sin. I say in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is drawing you to the cross of Jesus Christ. You say, well, you're not God. No, but God's given me His Word. Just like Ezekiel wasn't God, but God gave him His Word. And Ezekiel spoke it. And Ezekiel would have been the first person to tell you he's not God. Well, I'm not God. But I can sure speak His Word. And when I get a hold of this principle that He's revealed to me right here, quite frankly, I'd be kind of a fool not to take advantage of it. Because if there is a precedent like that throughout the Word of God, I mean, the book of Revelation, God told John what to say, what to write. And he did it. Let me show you another place. Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. If you pick up here in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See that? God prophesies to that which does not exist and believes it's going to exist. That's why he said, Son of man, set thy face against and prophesy and speak and say, Thus saith the Lord. And so here we are today and we can do the same thing. Son of man, male or female, son of man, daughter of man, whatever you want to call yourself. Take the word of the Lord and begin to prophesy into your world. Begin to speak these things and call those things which be not as though they were. This is not some crazy concept of a lunatic Christian who's lost his mind. These are people who have made a decision. If God does it, and I see examples of people in Scripture doing what God does, calling those things which be not as though they are, then why should I not have the same honor and privilege? Besides that, if I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, doesn't that give me the standing to prophesy the Word of God and believe that it's going to come to pass? See, the key is not believing, let me back up a little. The key is not thinking. We have to see it manifest before our very eyes in order to believe it will work. Because as long as I believe it has to happen before my eyes, means that I really don't have faith in God's Word that it can work whether I'm present or not. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to do all of these things. Well, fine. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me too. Is He not on you? Now think, is He not on you too? If I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're telling me that God would anoint Jesus to do these great things, and then Jesus would turn around and say, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also, but God's not going to anoint us to do what the Son said we could do? Come on now. See, this all goes back to our belief system, what we believe about what God has said. So therefore, I'm born again. I prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, then I say, no matter what I feel, if I don't have goosebumps, I don't have goosebumps. If I don't have this electricity going through me, then I don't have it. If I don't have like this warm feeling washing, then I don't have it. Doesn't matter. What I have is the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do the works of Jesus Christ, to speak the Word of God. So therefore, I know this. Jesus went about healing all those who were impacted, oppressed, and so forth by the devil, right? One of the things that Jesus did was get people delivered from demonic oppression, right? So then why can't I do that? In the name of Jesus, you know, Bob, I call you sick and tired of this lifestyle. Because see, listen, you know what the difference between a lost person and a Christian is? One has come to the knowledge they're lost and need Jesus, and the other hasn't. That's the difference. Because once you come to the place of knowing you're lost and you're on your way to hell and there's nothing you can do about it, I mean, when you know that, when you come to the place of knowing that, you know what you're going to do, don't you? You're going to cry out and call on to Jesus Christ and you're going to be saved. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, who really comes to the place of understanding their spiritual condition is going to reject Jesus. So therefore, Bob, I say in the name of Jesus, you understand your position. I say you understand that you are tormented with devils. I say your eyes are open to understand the demonic influence in your life. I say you know what's going on, and I say you're tired of it in the name of Jesus. I say you realize that your only hope is Jesus Christ, and I say you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I say in the name of Jesus, you're going to understand your position. Because once he understands his position, he's going to cry out. I can't make him call on the name of the Lord, but what I can do is prophesy that he understands, he knows, he needs the Lord. See this? And so I prophesy the word of God. And Bob, by faith, I call those things that be not as though they are. I call you saved. I call you filled with the Holy Spirit. I call you in this church. I call you here. And if you live somewhere else, I call you in this church by way of computer, watching us live or watching our archive services. And you don't think that's what God wants for them? That's why if I take the Word of God and I know the Word and the will of God concerning the lives of people, that's why Jesus came and died. See, I know this. So therefore, I can prophesy these things. And once again, I cannot control the will of a person, but I can prophesy a whole bunch of stuff into their life that their eyes will be open to see what they need. And we sit around here so many times and pray and ask God to, you know, oh God, please help, and oh God, do this. And God said, look, I've given you examples of what to do. Prophesy into your world. If Cousin Bob's a part of your world, prophesy to the Cousin Bob part of your world. Prophesy to your job situation. Prophesy to every aspect of your world that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Look in Jeremiah chapter 20. And again, guys, you need to understand, there are so many Christians out there, they call it stupid to do this. They think you're weird to do this. Well, don't get offended because they thought the prophets in the Old Testament were weird. In fact, there are people in the New Testament, they thought Jesus was weird. They thought he'd lost his mind. So don't get offended. Just remember, you're doing what God's told you to do. You're following the precedent in Scripture. Here in Isaiah chapter 20, just look in verse 9. Then said I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, or I could not keep quiet. You know what happens? Circumstances begin to rise up in our life, and we get tired of confessing. Because I'm not seeing any results. And God says, now hold on, whose kingdom is this? Is it yours or mine? Because if it's my kingdom and you're a citizen of it, then that means your confession is about accomplishing kingdom purpose in your world, in the lives of people. Whether you see it or not isn't the goal. The goal is for it to be prophesied. The goal is for it to be spoken. The goal is for it to be released so that I can work with my word. Just like I did with people all throughout Scripture. And so I can do verse 9 here. I'm sick and tired of all these confessions. Nothing happens. I've been confessing now for 3 years. And I haven't seen anything change. Okay, now your confessions for these past 3 years, based upon what you just said, are we now discovering that for 3 years you've been speaking out of your head, not really believing these things are going to happen? Have you just wasted 3 years of confession? Now that's an exaggeration, okay? And I'm just saying it for emphasis. Because these fellows in the Bible, they believed when they said it, it was going to happen. They believed it. Thus saith the Lord. It's going to happen. I mean, some of these prophets, they'd go to somebody and they'd say, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And those people didn't believe it until this time tomorrow when they woke up dead. It's like, well, I guess the prophet was right. Here I am, dead. So I can get frustrated and I can say, well, this stuff isn't working. This confession stuff's not working. I knew it wasn't going to be any good. I knew it. So really, you didn't believe the Word of God to begin with. And look, guys, you know, this is a challenge for me too. Because I want to see it now. I want my drive-through confessions to manifest. I want to biggie size it. You know, I want my happy meal right now. And don't forget my toy, praise God. That's kind of how we are. And it's like God's trying to remind us here tonight, look, it's not about you and your kingdom and you getting results. It's about results happening for my kingdom. Who are you working for anyway? You or me? If you're working for me, then you just keep confessing and you just keep prophesying and you keep speaking it and you keep believing it. And even if you leave this earth and you come on up here to be with me, then as you're passing from earth up here into glory with me, you just come on up here believing that you've spoken my word and it's going to keep working in the atmosphere because my words are spirit and they are life. It's going to continue to accomplish those things that I've sent it forth to accomplish. And the people that you've left behind, they will continue to be impacted by my word that you spoke because I'm working with my word. Prophesy to your world. Prophesy to it. God wants to see the results more than you. And a lot of these things pertain to your life now, your life here on this earth. And you can believe that they'll come to pass as long as you're speaking God's will. But see, this is another reason why it's so important for us to hear God, to receive from Him. Because if He gives me instructions, if He says, Jim, I want you to go to Australia and I want you to deliver my word, then I will prophesy, Australia, I'm coming to you. Australia, the word of God is going to be speak. I will open my mouth and I will speak the word of God into your atmosphere, Australia. And it will change your continent. It will change your nation. It will change your people. It will bring things to pass that people haven't seen come to pass their entire lives. It's going to change the direction and the course of this nation. Australia, are you ready? Because the word of God is going to be released in your midst. See what I mean? I'm prophesying. I'm speaking this. Well, in this situation, yeah, it came to pass. And now I was over there. I was in New Zealand. The Word of God was spoken. The Word of God was released. And you know what? It was released. And now it's like the foundation has been laid and God wants more Word to be spoken. But see, I can prophesy from here. I don't have to fly another, 8,000 miles to prophesy more over that Word that was spoken. I can stand right here and I can declare the Word that was spoken to Australia is coming to pass. It's at work now. Lives are being changed and God is preparing for a great release and so on and so forth. But the same thing here in this church. The same thing right here. The same thing for my home. The same thing for your home and your life and whatever it would be. And these confessions that we speak, this is one of the reasons why it's so critical. We have, as far as I know, they're still posted there at the website. We've had people, I want to download them, I want to use it. Well, do it. Do it. I'll use it. And change some of the names and places to fit where you are. But prophesy. Prophesy these things. Speak these things. Think of it like this. When you, when I was a kid, I'll say it this way. When I was a kid and Dad wanted me to cut the grass, he didn't tell me to go buy my own lawnmower. I'm 12 years old, but he wants me to cut the grass. In other words, Dad gave me the lawnmower and the gas that was necessary so I could cut the grass. Likewise, God wants me to give Him something to work with. Ezekiel spoke His word. Jeremiah spoke His word. Isaiah Daniel, Amos, Obadiah, on and on. They spoke His word and they released it. It was just like God spoke it. And so God worked with His word once it was released. Now I do the same thing. I give God something to work with. I take His word. I take His will for my life and I begin to speak it. I begin to prophesy it into my world and believe that it's going to come to pass. And guys, that principle holds true for every single one of us, whether we apply it or not. You can live your whole life as a Christian and not believe these things, not prophesy, not speak these things, and you're going to get what you don't say. If that makes sense. You'll get what you say. You say nothing, you're going to get nothing. Well, God wants us to give Him the tools of His Word so He can work with it. And that's why when we speak these things, I mean, just you can just see yourself as an Ezekiel. You know, if you're a farmer, speak to your land. Speak to it. Everybody else, their land isn't producing. Well, go out there. Is that the land that you use? Yes. Well, do you believe in God? Yes. Born again? Yes. I mean, well then, speak to it. If God had these guys in the Old Testament speaking to land and hills and streams, then go out there and speak to your crops. Speak to them. Prophesy. You will grow. You will bear fruit. You will benefit the kingdom of God. You will be a blessing. Other crops may fail, but you will not fail. Call rain clouds in. Rain clouds, listen to me. Thus saith the Lord. God has said He will bring rain. Therefore, rain you come. Water my crops. And if you want to be nice about it, you can call the rain in to water somebody else's crops too. You say, Brother Martin, that's crazy. Okay, well, you know what? It's not crazy, but it is a challenge to common sense worldly thinking. But it's not crazy. God's already shown us all these things happening right here in His Word. We can do this. We can change our world if we prophesy to our world. And God's in heaven waiting. Give me something to work with. And I would be able to help you bring about my change in your life and in your world. Praise God. Prophesy to your world. Amen. Say, well, Brother Martin, does this mean we can't come up for prayer anymore? No, it doesn't mean that. Come on up for prayer. It's okay. The point I'm trying to make is let God's fire, or let God's word be like a fire shut up in your bones that you prophesy over your life, over your world, over your situation. Just speak it. And don't worry about when you see it come to pass. Just keep prophesying God's word. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Father, these are concepts that to our natural mind, it's like we almost argue with ourselves on the inside. Yes, we know it's true because we see it in the word. But then on the other hand, it's like, but it just sounds so science fiction. Yet, it's in your word. And it's like we go back and forth on the inside. Thing is, you knew we'd have these struggles. So I'm asking you to help us to understand that we just have to accept this by faith because your word says it works. Help us to understand, Father, that we can prophesy your word and your will into our world and we can see things change. Father, the next time anything comes up, may we be sensitive to what we begin to speak. And instead of speaking reaction, may we prophesy according to your word. Jesus, I praise you. In fact, Father, I'm asking this. I know in the word it talks about the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin because they don't know Jesus. Well, on a variation of that, I'm asking that you would work a conviction in our lives when we begin to speak. And if we are getting ready to say things which are contrary and opposed to your word and your standards and your will, may we sense that conviction on the inside, even if we have to like stop in mid-sentence and change what we're saying. Because, Father, it absolutely is critical that we speak your word and prophesy your word into our world. And I praise you, Father, for the power of your word. Honestly, we just do not understand, Father, the power of your word or the word of your power. But it's there right before us.